Blog Talk Radio.
How's everybody out there doing? Movie Geeks United. We're live, baby.
Well, as opposed to dead, so that's really good. We're live. Welcome to the show, everyone. We have some longtime fans in the chat room, Michelle and Godiva. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have a really awesome show for you.
You're alive, Jerry, and I understand that you... It was touch and go for a little bit earlier today.
Oh, it's touch and go. It's still touch and go. I know. Here's the irony. Here's the great irony. Like, I had such a really, like, enjoyable weekend. And, of course, like, you know, it's always the balance of good and bad, you know, I think, with everyone. But as you get older, you sort of realize this. But, yeah, I had an awesome day yesterday. I couldn't ask for a better day. And regardless of the heat and humidity and everything. And then today we had a really powerful severe thunderstorms come through, and we had a lot of like trees down and everything. So it was like really, like within 5 minutes, really frightening.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Thanks.
It's one of those moments where you understand the power of Mother Nature and that it can change the course of your life rather quickly.
Well, I have. All right. Well, since I've gotten better at this honest thing over the year on the show. In dreams, I have these dreams, and it is the trees, you know, and the storm and everything that are like these powerful images, because we are surrounded by a lot of trees in this neighborhood, and the trees going back and forth swaying. That's a powerful dreamlike imagery. I'm not trying to, like, not that Christopher Nolan needs any more help with plugging his movie, but that's a very powerful, like, a recurring thing in my dreams, the trees.
Yeah.
So
you have poltergeist dreams.
No, I don't. I know. I've never had the clown dream.
Well, there's the tree thing too.
Oh, the tree, but the tree and that. Okay.
Did that scare you as a kid?
Let me tell you about Poltergeist. We watched it at a friend's house on HBO. Because I didn't see that in the theaters. And the first time I saw that, I couldn't sleep for like a couple of nights.
Yeah.
I'd hear everything in the house. Everyone would go to bed. Like, if there was a faucet, you know, you hear the dripping faucet, I would hear that, like, from downstairs. That movie
freaked
me. That movie scared me. And then this time we watched it again on Halloween a couple years later, and I was walking this is just, like, right up the street. I was in, I think, 8th or 9th grade, and we were watching it, and I was just walking down the street on Halloween night late, and I was just, like running home because we just got done watching that. I'm like looking outside and it's like cold and it's windy and everything. I'm like, I'm going home. I'm going to get as home as fast as I can.
Yeah. Michelle McHugh in the chat room brings up that the trees are from The Happening. I'm talking about the opening scene in Poltergeist, the first real big scare, which is the tree coming through the window for the little boy.
That still scares me. I mean, that's still a powerful, Toby Hooper or whatever kind of... Yeah, no, it's Steven Spielberg.
Spielberg
was calling the shots on that one.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, have you seen anything recently?
No, I haven't, you know? I'm ashamed to say I haven't.
No, that's all right. I only saw, like, two movies since the last time we were on the show. Salt and Agora.
Angora?
No, Agora, the one with Rachel Weisz.
Okay.
It's interesting, but Salt's actually really good.
From what I've heard, yeah.
Dude, it's the, you know, I talked about like a couple of years ago, Wanted being the perfect vehicle for her, but this is actually the perfect film for Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise's loss is her game, and she's perfect in it.
Yeah.
Really, like, I think it's like she's a female Jason Bourne, but it's really well done. I mean, it's outlandish. I mean, as you're watching the story unfold, you're just like, okay, I'm just going to – you do have to suspend a lot of disbelief here. But it's actually really well done. Really, and
yeah.
It's short, too. It's only like 95 minutes long. But she's good. Liv Scribner is incredible in it. I mean, it's a really well done movie.
Liv Scribner?
Scribner, Liv Scribner, I don't know.
Your pronunciations, let me just say, I don't know if I've ever told you before. Your pronunciations crack me up.
Yeah,
they
no,
really
aren't
did.
They horrible? Aren't they awful?
I think it's Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber, okay. He never called to correct me before, so I have no
I
way.
I know. But it's funny. It's something charming. I find charming about you.
Naive is idiotic.
I'm going to make a collection on our next anniversary show of mispronunciations. It's
oh, well,
be
yeah, that could take that could take that could that could be like 5 hours right there.
I got the Patricia Clarkson movie, the new one, Cairo Time.
How is that?
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Oh, okay.
Because we have her on the show. Her interview will air next Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Robert Duvall this Wednesday night. And let me tell the audience out there, we're putting together a series of shows that's probably going to be among the best, if not the best stuff that we've ever done. It's a six-part series on six different Brian De Palma thrillers, including Sisters, Carrie, The Fury, Dressed to Kill, Blowout, and Raising Cain. And just the interviews that we've done so far for them, they're among the best conversations, the most kind of analytical conversations that we featured on the show in the past. So if you enjoy De Palma movies, even if you don't, you're going to find a whole new appreciation for them on these shows. They're really eye-opening. I just got off the phone giddy for these conversations. It makes you want to go back and study and study and study all these great movies. So that'll be the first week of September that we'll be doing that. Comic-Con, dude. I guess Comic-Con picked up a little bit. They announced...
Up. I mean, I really wish I was there Thursday night when they had, for the Scott Pilgrim screening, because that, to me,
mm-hmm.
is a big deal. But, no, the biggest thing that happened was first of all, there was a stabbing. That made the news all over the place. There was actual, like, violence at the Comic-Con. But it's the Avengers. They actually had all the Avengers there together.
Somebody got stabbed there at Comic-Con?
Someone got stabbed, yeah. Some two guys, like, one guy got stabbed. I don't know. I haven't really, but for a seat. I think it was for the Cowboys and Aliens panel.
Of course.
That's where I would have like I would have brought a machete in
Favreau wherever he goes violence
there is violence. I mean, good thing Roland wasn't there. But I it sounds like this the first of all Tron was the
right
for the first couple of days was the big ticket. But then I think it was yesterday that the Avengers panel where they had all the actors. Who are playing the characters there, and it is official. Mark Ruffalo is playing the Hulk.
Hulk, yeah.
I don't know what to make of that yet, but
good
yeah.
good actor, bad cast.
An awesome
actor. That's my initial thought.
It doesn't matter who's playing the Hulk. I mean, just once you turn into the Hulk, it's just not a lot you can do. Hulk smash, Hulk.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But didn't Samuel Jackson announce all of the Avengers?
Oh, I don't know the specifics. I don't know.
I'm trying to look it up. I saw a headline.
Okay.
But Cowboys and Aliens was a surprise because Favreau and Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford showed up to promote it. Tron Legacy. Did you see the new trailer for Tron Legacy?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't seen. I haven't seen anything that's new that's popped up from Comic-Con, so I don't know.
Well. It's online, and the studio released it the same time they premiered it at Comic-Con, and it looks pretty astounding. For most of the movie, it's the older Jeff Bridges, current day Jeff Bridges, and the Jeff Bridges, 40 years younger, 30
mm-hmm.
years younger. So they did a Benjamin Button, only a lot more extensive to
right.
Jeff Bridges. How must that be for an actor to see himself 30 years younger?
It's got.
In a movie made
wild.
Today.
Yeah, but this is the we're right. I mean, this is really the big event of the fall season is Tron Legacy.
I think so too, yeah.
I mean, there are other films, obviously, that we're looking forward to, but Tron Legacy, I think, takes the cake for the big event film. It's certainly not the next Narnia movie, but not that I have any problem with that, but this is really the big ticket item. This is what everyone's looking forward to.
Jackson brought out stars for the Avengers thing. He brought out stars Clark Gregg, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Hemsworth of Thor, and Chris Evans of Captain America. He then introduced another surprise guest, Robert Downey Jr., who brought out the rest of the all-star cast, including Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye,
wow,
and Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. The film is due in 2012 from Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon, and I think he can do it, but I'm kind of hoping, given you got all these personalities. We had talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I hope it has kind of an Ocean's 11 vibe.
It has to, you know, because what are the common complaints about superhero sequels? They're too overstuffed with characters.
This
you know?
Is so overstuffed, though. But this is what we've talked about, and I think this is also every film, including the first Iron Man. So far from Marvel, they're building up to this. This is what they're building up to, this film. It has to be top shelf. It really has to be good, but it also has to be have a very tongue-in-cheek thing, I think, to go with that, because I can't take all these guys seriously for 2 hours. There's got to be some give and take here. There's got to be it has to be the perfect summer movie, I guess, the summer popcorn.
Yeah. I can't wait for the horror version of it. Freddy versus Jason versus Chucky versus Leatherface versus Michael Myers versus Candyman versus...
I think you're right, dude. I think you're absolutely right. That's coming for sure.
Why haven't they done that? I guess because they are characters that aren't all owned by one company.
That's the problem. That's the big... Yeah. It's a licensing thing. So that's the big problem. But this should be... But this is also something that Marvel really has. They have a lot of high expectations because they're basically using films, all the films prior to this film, as 2-hour advertisements. I mean, I hate to say it, but The Incredible Hulk is basically a 2-hour advertisement for this film. Iron Man 2, while I like it and everything, that's an advertisement for this, and Thor and Captain America as well. They're all leading up to this. So this film has to really deliver after all these years.
Kind of reminds me of when you have different CSIs or something on one network, and one cast seeps into the other cast to kind of promote the other show. Yeah,
that's really good analogy.
It feels like that, but Marvel, they've had great success thus far. I don't know what the feeling about Thor is. Captain America, I don't know. These two properties seem the most chancy of all of them, Captain America and Thor.
Remember Captain America was made in a pilot for a TV series when I was growing up that obviously went nowhere, and then a Roger Corman produced movie that went nowhere, and Thor they tried with The Incredible Hulk back in the late 80s, and that didn't really work out well. So those are really big gambles in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So they'll prove their mettle with these two films, I think. And, you know, if these two tank or don't do well, then you're left with the Avengers, where two of the main cast members are from the two movies that didn't do well.
Yeah.
So it's a big gamble.
It's a huge – this is a very – I mean, with the way everything costs these days, I mean, you really – those two movies – forget the Avengers for a second, but those two movies have to deliver. Because if they don't, as you say, that's a very big gamble. That's a very good point.
All right, last week's show, speaking of De Palma from earlier, last week's show, Dean gave us a morsel of, I mean, so many morsels of his extensive knowledge.
He may be the ultimate movie fanatic of anyone we've met on the show.
Don't speak too soon. Here's an email.
Oh, great. You know, look what Dean said. I don't know if I have anything to say after that.
Here's an email that we got from a really loyal listener, Jim. He said, just catching up on your recent Hugh Hefner episode and heard caller Dean insisting that De Palma's Casualties of War is a remake of his earlier and highly elusive Dionysus in 69. I'm here to tell you that is completely wrong. Dionysus in 69 was a late 60s experimental film by De Palma and some other filmmakers chronicling a live performance of a gonzo theater performance led by William Findlay. Among other reasons, it is noteworthy for being split-screen beginning to end. Other than the fact that the Vietnam War colored everything at the time this film was made, I fail to see the direct resemblance to the Casualties of War story. If anything, De Palma's Greetings is the early film that most informs Casualties. I've been searching in vain for a copy of Dionysus for years and was finally able to see it just a few short months ago. There you go.
Okay, it's interesting that you bring that up about that he brought that up about Greetings, because my mom and I were talking about Greetings the other day, and you know I think actually my parents saw that in a theater.
Greetings. Yeah, highly possible.
She liked Greetings. She liked Greetings and High Mom. I mean, the early De Palma, like with my mom, really resonates very loudly. Because at that time you didn't see anything like that. And,
yeah.
You know, Obsession is one of her favorite, is probably her all-time favorite De Palma film, more so than even Blowout. But, yeah, she mentions, she always talks about Greedy.
Well, in doing these interviews, you know, the surprising thing, all of the analysis is great. The surprising thing, though, are the revelations concerning Raising Kane, about the themes that he's exploring in Raising Kane.
Mm-hmm.
It really particularly makes me want to go back and watch that movie.
I would love to, because that's I think you might know this, but our listeners don't know this, and I will say this now. When we did the original De Palma tribute show, I went out and probably bought every De Palma film available on DVD.
Yeah.
I mean, I went out and bought what I did not have. I think I might have bought Raising Kane. Not sure, but I bought a lot. I mean, I must. Yeah, I bought a lot of DVDs that month.
Okay.
I know. It's like, well, Jerry, that's about fighting a chicken and not by a Wookiee.
I was trying to think of a follow-up band to support you. But...
No, but there is no. You can't support that. You shouldn't. You shouldn't even waste your mental energy on that.
Well, so, when do you think DVDs will be dead?
When do I think they'll be dead? In 3 or 4 years, because I think
that's what people are saying. But does that? I mean, that would have to mean that you would only watch movies on your computer. And
I don't like watching movies on my computer. I, you know, even with the thing that we have, the instant Netflix, I still like to watch that on the Blu-ray. You know, as the way to watch it on the TV. I really don't enjoy watching things on the computer at all.
Yeah. I just don't see that happening. I just don't see DVDs going away that soon.
I hope not, because it's like with CDs. I know a lot of people like iTunes, and they like to listen to stuff on their, you know, iPods and everything, but I still like to listen to CDs and buy CDs. So.
But even the act of renting them from these, from Netflix and Blockbuster and Redbox and all that kind of stuff, you know, I think people... Not everyone's going to want to cook their computer up to their TV and watch it through the...
Oh, I don't want to do that. I still watch DVD. I still rent from Netflix, I mean, but I just like to watch it on the TV. And I'll be very honest with you, I like to go to the theater to watch them more than anything.
Yeah.
Even the small, like really small films that you don't have to see in a theater, I still like to go out and to the theater and watch them.
Right. Fascinating. Interesting. I'm looking for some.
Why did you just say what someone was intriguing?
I'm looking through some movie news. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. It's. I think the two movies, I hope that in August, when we get around to August, before we get to the Palma thing, I think the two movies worth talking about. Well, there'll be more than these two, but I do think Scott Pilgrim and The Expendables we'll be talking a great deal about.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. I hope they're both as good as I think they're going to be.
Well, everybody exploded over it at Comic-Con.
But we've seen this before. But no, I'm really kind of hoping that we'll talk about those. And there's some movies. There's other movies too that are coming out that I think in August that look kind of interesting. The Michael Fassbender one, Neil Marshall Centauran looks good. And Machete, obviously, I think comes towards the end of the month. I think. I'm not sure. I have no idea.
Yes, it does.
Okay. And what else? I'm curious about the George Clooney one, The American. I know some people aren't, but I'm very curious about it.
Yeah. I think Machete is next month, or if not September 1st or something.
Isn't it Labor Day weekend? I thought these were all Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Sounds good. Dude, you know this better than I do lately, so.
All right. Well, I can't find any. I thought there was another movie story to discuss.
Well,
before.
I will. All right. Hold on a second. Just hold your horses. I will find something too.
Got to be something other than Comic-Con.
Oh yeah, there is actually something interesting going on. It's our buddy Del Toro. Is produced. He hasn't directed, but he is produced along with the guys from Chud.com. A remake of a great TV movie from the 70s, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's another movie from elementary school that scared the hell out of me. But they remade this, and it's supposed to be really good. And I'm looking forward to it, because if you, I think you can rent it on DVD.
Right.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. It's a good, scary movie. And I had nightmares about that, too. After watching that the first time, it really scared me.
Okay,
that's
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. I did see the poster for it that they unveiled. But.
Yeah.
Then M. Night Shyamalan the Ding Dong, he has a movie that he wrote and is producing.
Devil. I finally saw the trailer for that. That does look kind of interesting. I never bothered with The Last Airbender, but because I just had no interest.
But he's actually in recruited the directors of the Poughkeepsie tapes. They're directors, both of which we've had on the show before, that
mm-hmm.
are doing Devil.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Stallone. Here's something about a star that we all know and love. Sylvester Stallone. Let me tell you our history with Sylvester Stallone. For the past 3 years, there has consistently, outside of Al Pacino, been one person that we tried to get on the show, and that is Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it in my craw. I got to get Stallone on the show. And we're always promised next time. Well, next time should have been The Expendables and...
Mm-hmm.
Damn it if he's not too busy to do our show when I sent a request a month ago for a mid-August release.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to ask Stallone a question, apparently he has enough time to answer them on Ain't It Cool News for you.
Yeah, what's up with that? I mean...
Not 15, 20 minutes to talk on the phone with us, but he will actually write out 10 questions a day for readers of Ain't It Cool News. So go sly... if you have any I don't sound bitter, do I?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Anyway, well, that's just what we have to deal with. But great guests on the show tonight. This movie, The Extra Man, is really, really good. Kevin Kline and Paul Dano.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's Dano. I kept saying Dano.
That's what I've been saying for years, but obviously we know I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, well, I can see where... We got a call here. It seems like a not a Dean area code.
Oh, my God. Are we doing it that way now? Not a Dean?
Yeah, not a Dean. I don't think so. 864 area code?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
What did that mean about not a Dean?
We have someone that calls in every single show, and I'm used to his number. So,
yeah, he's a loyal listener.
Ooh, well, No, it's not him.
What's your name, man?
Dwayne.
I've
been watching movies for years. I'm just different kind of movies. The horror genre is not my best, though. I don't know why.
You're not alone in that.
Well, why? I mean, I used to like Jaws and Piranha and some of the stuff in the early 80s.
So any horror movie that deals with fish, you like?
So basically, like, anything that sea is involved with, you're right on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So What are some of your favorite movies?
Well, I've been watching straight to DVD movies lately. Like the ones that go straight to DVD is mostly comedy. I like some drama, but I got to be in the mood. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like those rags to riches underdog stories.
Right, right, okay.
Like in
who
the
mode
of the Rockies and the Rudies and the,
yeah, oh no, yeah.
You know, Scarface. You can interpret that as a that kind of movie too, even though it was a gangster movie. But he was
right
from nowhere, and he was like the top person in his drug business, which is not no positive, but.
What, you know, that's why people love that movie. It is like the ultimate rags to riches movie. And, you know, I was talking about Scarface just the other day. It's a movie that completely belongs in the 80s because, I mean, the materialism and all that kind of stuff really became the norm in the 80s. And you kind of separate Scarface from the 80s, and it's a little difficult to read the same way without that context. But,
mm-hmm.
but
well,
a lot go
of
ahead,
people man. Now are not deep. They don't look deep into a movie. They look at it as bland of the outward. All they
mm-hmm.
just want somebody to be just stupid just for the sake of being silly.
Right.
You know. And I like movies like that. I don't know why. It's sport. I'm going for the underdog in sports.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
So you like Stallone. You like Stallone's Rocky movies.
Yeah, I like the 80s B movies, that comedy, the genre of Police Academy and Recruits and Hamburger High and stuff like that. License to Drive.
Oh, well, those, yeah.
Wow, you're going through the Corey Feldman, Steve Guttenberg. What's the other thing? The License to Drive, was that the Billy Ocean song come from that? Get Out of My Dreams, Get Out of My Car?
Yeah. Sure do.
Yeah, whatever happened to him? Whatever happened to Billy Ocean, the Caribbean Queen?
He's
still alive.
Yeah, no, I realize that. Yes, I thank you. I know that.
I thought she was talking about the actor. The kid actor that was taking the car all night and his
No, he's dead.
Some of them actors don't. Huh, he's dead.
That's great.
Corey Haim, he died this year.
I know, but that's just great the way he's dead.
I didn't mean to say that insensitively. We just said that Billy Ocean was alive. I just want to make clear that everybody knew that Corey Haim was not.
Dude, you're awesome. Yeah. You're better than TMZ.
Okay. But all those actors, yeah, some of those actors don't even act anymore, like the guy.
No,
that's very true.
And we should be thankful for some of those.
That's cold, man. It's colder than anything I've ever said.
The Lost Boys. You like The Lost Boys from the 80s?
Yeah, I have to get that again. I got The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
See, now I know John Hughes died earlier this year, wasn't it? Yeah.
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 Last year, about a year ago, right?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah.
The last year or early this year, somewhere around like that. But he's a great. I didn't know how big a director he was. I knew his movies. I didn't know him.
He was major.
I think Roger Corman, John Hughes, even Tyler Perry is like one of the greatest independent filmmakers of all time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against Tyler Perry. I mean,
no,
look at the success that he's
monumental.
Had.
I mean, he's beaten the system. That's what's so incredible. I don't care who you are, if you like his movies, if you don't, you got to respect the fact what he's done. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
Roger Corman was like that, too.
Yeah, no, Roger Corman, and he gave so many people their start, Roger Corman. I mean, he's very important. There's no doubt about that.
What is this, Life Maker? Anyone can call in and talk about movies, and you won't make a fool of yourself because you're in good company.
Yeah, I mean you're talking to me, one of the dumbest people who's ever lived.
I wasn't implying that, Jerry.
I was implying that.
Dwayne, buddy, thank you for calling in, man.
All right.
Thank you, Dwayne. I hope you're doing well,
and thank you so much.
For
an interview. Hope you get
thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Dwayne. So if anyone wants to call in, this person's asking questions about how many listeners do they have?
I don't know. Now I'm kind of scared. We have a lot. We have many.
All right. I know every hour how many listeners we have. I'm typing it in the chat room for you right now, LifeMaker. You ready? I'm not going to reveal it on the air.
Oh, my God. You're going to do that?
Here are the number of listeners that Movie Geeks United has as of this hour. There you go. It's in the chat room. Okay. That's right. Team America.
All right. I didn't mean to curse on a family show.
Okay. Let's get to this interview. The Extra Man, it opens up this Friday in limited release. Was it this Friday or did it open up this past Friday? I think it's this coming Friday, and that's why we're airing it during this show.
No, that's good. I want to see this because I like the guys who made this film, and I obviously like the actors in it. So yeah,
it's a terrific movie, and it's very funny, and it's particularly a delightful movie because you get to see Kevin Kline again. And we don't see him enough.
No, we don't.
You know why? Because he says no to everything, essentially.
Yeah, he does.
Do you know what his nickname is in the industry?
No, what is it?
It's Kevin Decline.
Oh, God.
Because he says no to everything. It seems like... I'm not making it up.
I know you. No, I know you're not.
He's like Stallone with the show. He says no, like, every time.
I've seen him in some films over. I mean, I liked him in The Empress Club. I liked Dexley. I thought his performance in The Lovely was good. And I think that I didn't see Trade. He was in a movie called Trade, right? That came out a couple of years ago.
Trade,
what is the one?
Yes, I did see that. Yeah, about the sex slavery.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. But I mean, so he has been in stuff. I mean,
yeah,
but not as much as he used to be.
And this is a particularly great genre for him because he's just so funny. He's just so great in comedies. And the film is from the director Sherry Springer Berman and Robert Pulcini, and they are the people behind a few great, great films,
mm-hmm.
including a documentary called The Last Days of Chasin. Did you ever check that out?
Yeah, that's a good one. And they also did American Splendor.
Yeah, which is notable, especially now after a couple mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago with Harvey Pekar's death.
Right.
But, Last Days of Chasin is actually really interesting because it's about not only the closing of a restaurant,
right.
that was a big Hollywood establishment, but the end of an era in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
too.
It's an amazing film. If you haven't seen it, please check it out. It's fascinating.
But The Extra Man, this interview goes on for about 15 minutes. I see that we have a caller on the line, but we're just about to play this interview. So if you can call back, this might be Dean. I think I recognize this. This is the call that is Dean. I'm waiting for my switchboard to catch up with me so I can play this interview. Please hold.
Okay.
But the American Splendor, I asked them about, we touch upon that. We touch upon The Extra Man, obviously, and what they saw in the material because it's based upon a popular novel.
Right.
And about their next project. Their next project sounds really interesting. It's an HBO film.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Robbins.
Fargo was commenting about the other night. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So here's the interview. Here's Sherry and Robert. I'm curious how that working relationship between the two of you, how that works exactly, and how your sensibilities complement one another as artists?
That's a good question.
I think if you're going to be a team, you have to have a shared aesthetic. And Sherry and I started working together in film school, and we started writing together. I edited her student film, and she produced mine. And then we also noticed that we laugh at the same jokes in movie theater that the other people don't laugh at.
We'll be like the only two people in the theater actually laughing at a joke.
And right. We had a lot of common interest, you know, in the kind of films that we liked. And so, you know, it kind of sprung up from that.
And I guess, you know, it actually, we do complement each other. We have strengths in different areas. Bob edits our films. He's an amazing editor, and I am not an editor. I really am overwhelmed at the idea of putting a movie together.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really good at looking at a cut, you know, so I sort of am really good at fresh eyes coming in, but, like, I don't have that editorial strength. And Bob is, you know, very strong visually with the camera, and I am involved in that, but I tend to work a lot with the actors and the more of the sort of organizational producerial side of it. So we definitely have different strengths.
Right. You say that you both share a love of the same movies. What are some of those influences for the two of you?
Well, there's so many. It's hard to – I don't know where to begin. I mean
– we both love Lubitsch. Like, mm-hmm. That's a real influence for this movie, Ernst Lubitsch.
We both kind of came up during the time of, like, David Lynch when he was working in, you know, making studio films. And there were just so many exciting directors around when we were film students. And, you know, there was the whole New York independent film community, and that was really blossoming. And so I mean,
documentary, you know, sort of the Maisels and the Penny Bakers,
yeah,
and
yeah,
cinema verite documentaries, and you know, so it's like everything from like sort of 30s comedies, like Trouble in Paradise or Ninotchka, to like, you know, cinema verite, couldn't be, and David Lynch, you know, it couldn't
mm-hmm.
be as far apart, you know, it's, but yeah, we seem to love, we tend to love the same movies.
So when you happened upon this book by Jonathan Ames, was it?
Yeah,
that's right.
Jonathan, yeah.
So what about it spoke to you?
Well, I got a call from our manager saying, you know, there's this author, Jonathan Ames, and his manager really wants you to read his material because she thinks you'd really respond. And I said, well, send it to me. So I got this book, The Extra Man, and I fell in love with it. It was hysterical. I love Jonathan's voice. It was like nothing I had ever read, and it kind of harkened back to some of those old movies, but it also had a very modern theme. And I said, Sherry, you have to read this. And Sherry read it and just completely fell in love with it. And then on Monday we got a call saying that we were sent the wrong piece of material. And
please don't read it.
Please don't read it. We were like, it's too late. We really like this. You know, what's going on with it? And we found out that the rights were available. So we decided to option it ourselves and, you know, just kind of see if we could build it, you know, independently. And it all came together very quickly. You know, we worked with Jonathan on a script, and we got Kevin Kline and Paul Dano. We got this dream cast, and then, you know, Katie Holmes and John C. Reilly came along, and, you know, it happened very quickly. So, you know, and sometimes it just happens that way. Other films you kind of, you know, labor over and, you know, try to get going for decades, you know?
Yeah.
It was also one of the things I really loved about it is I grew up in New York, and I had a great uncle who reminds me, who was a little bit like Henry Harrison. there's like these people in New York, I feel like a movie is never even made about them. They're invisible in a weird way. And they're like these weird people. You see them on the street. They live on the fringe of culture. They're like probably people who moved to New York to be poets and writers and artists and actors. And it just never kind of happened for them. And they live in these, you know, they've been in the city for a long time, and they live in walk-up, like, run-down walk-up apartments. You know, they pay, like, $150 a month rent. You know, everybody hates them because they have such low rent. And they really are there in New York, and my uncle was one of them. And I felt like I've never seen a movie about these people, and I felt like Henry was one of these people, and Lewis might have been on the road to being one of these people, and I feel like they're very much a part of New York, so I was excited about doing a film about them.
Well, and these characters, they seem to live in a different time. And actually, Katie Holmes, actually, her character actually mentions that to Paul Dano during one scene. What does that speak to for you?
I think New York is very unique in that way that, I mean, when I first moved to the city, I was kind of mesmerized by how little people live with in New York City and how out of touch they are with the latest gadgets.
And, we still don't, Bob and I don't have a dishwasher.
You know, they have the stuff that, you know, everyday Americans have, and somehow they're fine with it. And there is this ability in New York City and maybe other cities, you know, that I don't know as well, but, you know, I've definitely seen it in New York, that people can kind of seal away time in their apartment and, you know, pick their era and stick to it. And I've known a lot of people like Henry Harrison in my experience in New York City, and it's by no means an exaggeration. And in fact, I would say none of these characters are an exaggeration at all from, you know, the characters that we've encountered and have mingled with in New York. And we later found out that much of the novel is true. I mean, it's autobiographical. It's Jonathan's story. And Henry was really based on someone that Jonathan had lived with and, you know, shared these experiences with. And, you know, it's kind of a love letter to this very odd man.
And knowing Jonathan, I don't think it was very much exaggerated.
Wow, wow. Well, I have to ask you about Kevin Kline, because one of the great joys of this movie is seeing new work from Kevin Kline. I mean, he is so infectious in every movie he does. Tell me the process of approaching him and getting him to do the film.
Well, the first time we sat down with Jonathan, the book's author, and we talked about making this into a movie and who we wanted to see in the movie, he blurted out, well, Kevin Kline has to play Henry Harrison. And we were like, of course. And then we said, and Paul Dano has to play, you know, Lewis. And it was just so funny because I've never in my career and probably never will get my first choice for both my, you know, for two of the main roles ever again. So we knew, I mean, Kevin was born to play Henry Harrison. There was a very short list of people who could play this role. And if we didn't get them, we really shouldn't have even made the movie. And Kevin was at the top of the list. And it was really funny because we just went happy-go-lucky. You know, we sort of don't know that much about the business, living in New York and not being in the center of Hollywood and all that. And said, okay, so we'll go out to Kevin with the script. And later found out that Kevin's nickname in the business is Kevin D. Kline.
Right.
Because he says no to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know that. So, you know, ignorance is bliss. We went out and offered him the role, and they called us back and said that Kevin wanted to have a meeting with us. And he picked this very strange restaurant on the Upper East Side that was filled with ladies at lunch, you know, the kind of restaurant that I've never been to. It was a very Henry Harrison, you know, restaurant. And Kevin showed up dressed in sort of an old suit, you know, with like a ratty, you know, a handkerchief. So he was completely in character. And
wow.
He's like, these are my ladies. And he pointed to the women. and we were just like, oh, my God, couldn't have been more perfect.
Wow.
So, and we had like a four-hour lunch.
Well, tell me about the process of working with actors, because you guys started out, if I'm not mistaken, in documentaries. The documentary on The Last Days of Chasen was terrific that you guys did. But when you're actually watching actors give life to your screenplay, that has to be so extremely satisfying. And does it become a different movie than what you had in your head at that point?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, you know, it's exhilarating to see the people become the people you've been living with in your mind for however long. And, you know, it's always different. You know, every actor is different, and they have different needs and requirements. And, you know, your job is to really find out what those are that, you know, and help in the way that you can. And, you know, I've had some actors say to me, you know, I like line reading. Tell me how to say it. And I've worked with other actors who, you know, want to be motivated to put a key in the door, and, you know, find the reason to do it. And I respect all those, you know, all those ways, whatever method they use. And on this movie, Kevin and Paul and Katie and John couldn't be more different in their styles. And it was really educational for me to watch them work because they were so different and really fun, you know, just really, really fun to watch these people craft these characters in their different ways. And, you know, because the characters are all kind of extreme too. So it was a really, really exhilarating part of this process for us.
It was funny because Marion Seldes, who plays Vivian Cudlett, who is Kevin's main lady that he escorts, was Kevin's professor at Juilliard. So, yeah, it was really amazing. And they were really funny together because they were, you know, trying to out – they only had one scene together, and they were trying to outdo each other. And Kevin was – and unfortunately, Marion is dead in the scene that she has with Kevin. And Kevin's like, Marion, I'd like to see you upstage me now. And she's like, my dear, I will figure out a way.
Before I let you go, I know you guys played the film at the Sarasota Film Festival, which is a festival that we cover every year on the show, and it's been at many festivals across the country. Tell me the reaction that you've had from audiences.
It's really been, you know, we really wanted to make a comedy for grown-ups because we feel like not enough of those are made, you know, and that's what we loved about the book. It was very, very funny and also had, you know, it didn't really wear its brains on its sleeve, but it had a lot, I thought it had a lot to say. And, you know, it's been just, it's, you know, with a comedy, it's just so rewarding when you sit there and there's just laughter from beginning to end. And, you know, I was at a screening and Jonah Hill was there and he's like, he came up to us after and he was like, you killed it. And I'm like, really? You know, because this guy's a great, you know, comedian right now. And he said, oh, yeah, I count the laughs, I time them. And he had this whole formula for how comedies work. And, so that was really great to hear. It's been really great, you know, showing it to festivals. And the response has been really what we wanted. So
we had no idea how funny it was until we saw it in front of an audience. This movie wasn't test screened or anything, which was great, but we didn't know how it would play until we were at Sundance in front of an audience, and luckily people laugh a lot.
Before I let you go, your next project, Cinema Verite, it's an HBO film?
Yes, we're going to shoot it starting to shoot in 3 weeks, so we're stressed. Yeah, it's very stressed. Do we sound it, or are we...
No, you saw cool as a cucumber. You're great.
Good acting. It is a film about a landmark documentary that PBS made in the 70s called An American Family. They actually put cameras in the house of the perfect American family. It was a sort of Brady Bunch, you know, wannabe family in Santa Barbara. Five teenagers, everybody good-looking, very upscale, very wealthy people. And it was the first reality TV show, in a sense. It was 1971, and they had cameras filming their lives basically practically 24-7 for several months. And during this time, the family completely fell apart.
Wow.
This perfect family completely fell apart. And the family's called the Loud Family, and we're doing a movie about the making of the documentary and what happened behind the scenes, and it's with starring Diane Lane, Tim Robbins, and James Gandolfini.
Okay, those are directors Sherry Springer Berman and Robert Pulcini talking about The Extra Man that opens in limited release this Friday, the 30th of July. And giving us a little teaser into their next project for HBO.
Yeah, sounds fascinating.
Which I understand that Kevin Kline has a project he's developing for HBO too. And then a series, and then you have Dustin Hoffman who has a series on HBO.
Yeah, I mean everyone's going to HBO. It's a good place. I mean HBO and Showtime, those are good places to go.
And then Scorsese's developing another series for HBO outside of Boardwalk Empire.
What is his series?
it's he and Terrence, I think it's Terrence Winter again from The Sopranos, doing a series about rock and roll. Mick Jagger is involved too.
Well, that should be really cool.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Okay. I think Dean's been on the line. I think this is Dean. Hang on. I keep muting him. Yeah, that's Dean. I can tell by the phone reception. Hey, Dean.
Can you really? It sounds pretty good on my end.
Well, of course it sounds good on your end.
Yeah, it's not like breaking up or anything. So, man, that is exciting news about Cinema Verite, because I have always wanted to see An American Family, and I don't know that it exists anywhere. I mean, I remember working at Kim's Video, which had the biggest video selection that I'd ever seen, and it wasn't there. So I said, well, it must not be out there. So so maybe also this will poke the powers that be to release it, in connection.
No, that would be great. That would be wonderful if they did.
It could be. Tell me about Kim's Video. Because Patrick actually wrote me, because once when he started, he was a loyal listener, Patrick, and when he started listening to you, your input into the show, he investigated you and found out that you worked at Kim's Video, which is a place he used to frequent. So tell me about those days.
Kim's Video was an institution that's closed now, but it had been in a couple of different locations before I got to it. Which when I got to it, it was inhabiting three stories of a building on St. Mark's Place that used to be a bathhouse people like. What's the artist's name? Keith Haring used to go to and stuff like that. So anyway, it was famous besides its selection, which was absolutely huge. I mean, its rental, I worked on the rental floor, which was the top third floor besides the offices, which were the fourth floor. Huge area, and it couldn't even show all of its movies, face out. All the movies were, just the spine showing, and it was still jam-packed. Everything was separated out by countries, and within the countries, everything was separated out by directors.
Right.
And it was really, really it was also famous for its kind of very, very cruel kind of staff. They were very mean to you. If they didn't like your choice in movies, they'd go, and if you were asking for something like, Baby Geniuses or something like that, they'd be like,
or License to Drive.
Yeah.
Well, depending on the taste of the person, there were people there who loved that stuff,
Dean. You're in one of the great cities that have some of the greatest bookstores. I'm sure a Books and Company or the Strand, that would be the same thing, too. I mean,
I think so, but, it's funny because in the Strand, you're just kind of looking around. And I've never really gone up to anybody in the Strand.
Oh, I wouldn't dare.
Asked a question, so I've never been on the receiving end of anything like that. But I was, the first night, the first week I was there, one of the people on the other side, one of the customers, of course I was on the other side, but one of the managers was kind of getting it into it with him, and the guy took the paperback book he had and slapped the manager across the face. It was just this kind of thing, and me being from the South, which I'm a little bit kinder and whatever. I don't react that way. I'm into all kinds
of
things.
No, of course.
So I became sort of known for being the only nice guy there, which was like being Marilyn in the Munsters, or something like that.
Years ago, when I was in theater management, there was an incident where, and I had many arguments with customers, but it's an incident where a female manager was talking to this customer, and I don't know, something about a refund or the noise and something. And out of the blue, the customer slaps her in the face. And it was such like a shocking moment. Like it took her a long time to kind of recover from the shock of that moment.
Well, you know, when it happened to my friend at Tim's, you know, it was almost like, you know, it was the kind of thing that happened a lot. So it was like, you know, I mean, really, the place was very, very, very notorious for its staff.
So have you ever been slapped in the face, Dean, like in a no means no kind of moment?
No, I haven't, surprisingly enough. I just sort of keep to myself in most walks of life. Because I find I can, you know, it's fine. I don't need anybody else, you know.
All right. Well, if you were here, I'd slap you. Yeah.
Well, you already slapped me with the Dionysus thing, so. but deservedly so, because I was totally wrong on that. And if I could find the book where I read about Dionysus in 69, and it gave me that piece of information, I would tear it up right now. But I even went looking through my collection. I couldn't find it. But
okay, it's cool. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
I'm allowed to be wrong a few times.
Yeah, you are definitely allowed. You definitely have some leeway there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't honestly think of a time when I've ever been wrong on this show.
Except for pronouncing Paul Dano's name.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
That's for me. Just blame that on me. Don't just let him get it.
You? Okay.
No, let him blame me.
Didn't everybody think it was Dano? I was just going by Royal Dano, you know, the old character actor
the good call. Good call, Dean. Got another. See, he's already won himself back the brownie points for the whole De Palma thing, so don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I kept thinking of Dano is what I was thinking of.
See, there you go. But, I mean, how many people in the nation are mentioning Royal Dano's name right now? Not too many.
I think just us, man.
Yeah.
So, have you
seen anything of interest lately, Dean?
Well, you know, I've been working on a series of posts on Filmic Ability, which is my blog.
Right. No, we know.
Filmicability.blogspot.com, and I won't bother spelling it out. But I've been working all week on a series of posts dealing with I wasn't really tagged in this meme, but I saw some bloggers that I liked participating in this meme where you pick five or however many screen captures that you want of movies that you liked, and you can theme them or not or whatever. So, so I went kind of crazy, and I decided at first I decided to do 101 captures in three different parts, but then I didn't feel that was even enough, so I decided to do 200 in six different parts. So that's kind of what I've been doing all week. I haven't really watched a full movie all the way through. I've just been kind of watching, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute clips of movies all week. So
that's all right. That's cool. No, I've been trying to keep up with that the last couple of days. I haven't, but no, it's awesome what you're doing over there.
Well, I just did part five, and I'll post part six, the last part, tomorrow or the next day. So that's what I've been doing. I mean, you know, like I just finished watching, you know, 15 minutes of Life is Sweet, which I've seen millions of times. By Mike Lee.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's one that I think people have not, even though it won the National Society of Film Critics Award for Best Picture, Best Actress, and Supporting Actress in 1990, or maybe 91, I don't think that a lot of people have seen it, and mainly because I don't think it's been released on DVD here yet. So, at Kim's, we only had a PAL British version of it. So,
Okay. See, used to show that on Bravo before Bravo became a reality television cesspool. That was on Bravo a lot.
It's sad what's happened to Bravo. But, so I watched, just watched about 15 minutes searching for just the right moment of Begotten, which is E. Elias Merhige's first movie, the movie he did before he did Shadow of a Vampire, back in the mid. When was that? Was that in the 90s?
Shadow of the Vampire is 2001, I believe.
2001.
Yeah, so he's really, he's only done two movies in the space of two decades, which I think he's running for Terrence Malick's record. But and that's a really horrifying movie. It's almost all it's all silent, and it's really just an extended sort of dream mm-hmm. movie. It's really something else. And like trying to pick one image out of that is ridiculous. But anyway. So that's what I've been doing. I haven't really watched any. I am planning to go tomorrow to go to one of my few three movie days. So I'm going to go see Cyrus, Kids Are All Right, and Winter's Bone all in one day. So
Wow, you picked really awesome movies to go see in one day.
Yeah, all at the same theater, too. Isn't that wild?
Well, that's very nice. That's a good day.
Do you work, Dean?
Dean, are you independently wealthy?
I don't want to say anything about my wealth or where I, what I let's, okay, all right, I do have a trust. So.
You do have a what?
A trust.
A trust, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Dean, can I come up and see all those again with you?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, so.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. It's pretty good because very few people trust me, so it's good.
The only work I do is on the blog, and that is work, by the way. And so it's yeah.
No, that is. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people like to write that kind of stuff off, but that is work, and especially what you're doing on this one, and what you've done on a lot of them. And let me just say this: whenever Polly Frost posts something on Facebook, you're the only one who gives a really detailed response.
Yeah, I love her. I love her questions. She's great. You know, she's a good friend. I hope I'm not, like, calling out of school, but she was a good friend of Pauline Kael's.
That's right. They did a great interview with her. Remember? She and Ray Sawhill did a great interview.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do the Kael special, you should probably get her involved in it.
I think Polly. I would have Polly Frost be on the show like you. I wish you would call in. I mean, I'd have Polly on the show every week.
Yeah, she's terrific, and yeah. I love her writing, her writing, and Ray's as well.
Ray is both of them are excellent, excellent writers and just excellent people, beautiful human beings.
Yeah, they're really. You know, I've only gotten to know them through Facebook, so
yeah,
I'd love to go and meet them since they're up here.
Dean, what the hell? Why are you slacky, man? I mean, come on, go do it.
Well, I have met Jonathan Ames. I've had dinner with him.
Oh, okay.
Well,
all right. We just talked about him. So that's good.
Yeah. He's really something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I find it best not to meet anyone that you only interact with online. All right, Dean.
I don't know.
That is so deep
that's
and
not...
profound. Jamie, that's like, wow.
Hey, how have we met? Well, we really haven't met, but, you know.
I've been doing the show with Jerry for over 3 years, and we haven't met.
And it's probably best because he'd be disappointed in me. He'd probably throw me under a bus. I mean,
are you serious? You guys have
probably,
never, like, gone out and had dinner?
No.
Jesus Christ. I live in Maryland. He lives in Florida.
Well, I know, but 3 years, that's a long time.
It's a long time. It's, you know, but we have a good thing going here.
He probably mispronounced my name if
up?
We met.
What was that?
I said you probably mispronounced my name if we met.
I've mispronounced everyone's name, obviously.
I was just ragging you. Hey, Dean.
Yeah?
Your category is... All right.
No,
your category is film festivals, all right?
Okay, yes.
Which night... And if anyone else wants to play movie trivia, call in. All right. I had it right here. Which 1990s movie won a Golden Lion... for Neil Jordan?
I know this.
I mean, is it... Well, there's an obvious answer, and then there's a not-so-obvious one, but I'm just going to go with the obvious one and say The Crying Game.
Yeah. What?
Then it was
not Daniel Mel.
Then it was The Butcher Boy.
Yeah.
No. It was Michael Collins.
I love Michael Collins, but I would not have thought of that.
That was totally political.
All right, Jerry.
Oh shit! I didn't
also
know
under also under film festivals. Here's your question: which actress won in Venice in 1993 for Three Colors Blue?
That would be Juliette Binoche.
Yes, you're right.
Ding ding ding.
She would always be, she's still scheduled to play my mom if I ever get off my ass and write a movie about my family. That's what she looked, my mom was like a cross between Jackie O and Juliette Binoche, so I mean.
Wow.
I'm not bullshitting when I say that, so, especially the younger years, okay? Like, if we're going to do the 60s and the 70s, my mom looks exactly like Jackie O.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean. The stress that woman deals with every day.
Yeah.
God bless her.
Yeah.
All right. I look a lot like Susan St. George. I've been told that quite a bit.
Really?
I don't know what that means.
I need another drink now with that comment.
That's just the first thing that came to mind. All right, Dean. It's 1-0. Jerry's in the lead. Here's your question, Dean. Under potluck, in which year did Alfred Hitchcock die?
Hmm. 1980?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I remember that day. I remember when he passed away.
All right. Dean on the board.
Yay.
Next question. Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Under 1970 stars. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's your question. Who was Best Actress at Cannes for An Unmarried Woman?
Gina Rowlands.
That's your answer.
That is my answer, but I'm sure I'm wrong. But
yeah, you're
Jill Clayburgh.
Oh, God damn it. Okay. I was thinking of Woman Under the Influence. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm under the influence, so that's
And I, strangely, am not.
Well, goddammit, Dean, get on the ball here.
I don't feel like drinking today.
Okay, that's a good note. More power to you.
Dean, your question is under the category biopics.
Mm-hmm.
These are films about real life people.
Yes, thank you.
I just had to define it for you. Okay.
Wait, what are real life people?
What?
Yeah, we're
what
not
are real life people?
With them.
Those are people that actually have a life. So that's why I'm not.
Okay, well, I went to a party last night. Does that make me? Okay, never mind.
All right, Dean, here's your question. Who did Ellen Barkin play in Wild Bill?
Annie Oakley?
Annie Oakley is your answer?
Yes, I would say Annie Oakley.
No!
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 No! No!
It is Calamity Jane.
No, it was the other one. Okay.
Right. So what are we at? Did Dean get something right?
Still 1-1.
No, you're right. You're right. You are right.
Yeah, he's right. Just let him be right.
No. It's 2-2.
No, it's 1. I only got 1 right so far.
We both lost.
No, you got Juliette Binoche right.
Yeah, I got Juliette Binoche right, but yeah, that's about all I'm doing good right now, so.
All right, well, who cares for the score? I am terrible at paying attention to the score.
I'm paying attention.
Brandon, it's your goddamn game. Come on.
Yeah, why don't you just write our names down and go dink, 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 you know?
I'm not going to do that. all right, Jerry, your category is comedy.
Okay.
And here's your question. Marry me, Emily, and I'll never look at another horse is the last line of which movie?
Oh, God.
Ooh, that's tough.
That is tough. That is tough. I thought that was something that maybe Richard Burton said when I drunk to Elizabeth Taylor. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry.
A Day at the Races.
I should have known. Okay.
Wow. All
that's right, Dean.
That's a really great question.
Oh, here's an answer. Here's a question I actually know the answer to. Okay, Dean, here you go. also under comedy. What is Ted Danson's job in Made in America?
I know this.
I don't know this. Funeral
I know
director.
This.
I really don't know. I've never seen it.
All right, Jerry?
Car dealer.
Right, you're right.
Wow. But he doesn't get that point, does he?
No, I don't get that point, no.
No.
Okay.
Don't worry, Dean. It's not being taken away from you.
Don't worry. Get the prize. Get the big brass ring, okay?
I'm doing terrible now. Maybe I should have a drink.
All right, Dean. The next question is about Dionysus 1969.
Wait,
it's Jerry. No. Okay. Your category, Dean, is...
No, it's Jerry's, isn't it?
No, I just... Oh, yeah, it is Jerry.
Yeah,
okay.
It is. Yeah, got
me. Sorry, man.
That's all right, dude.
It's okay.
It's all right. Quite all
you
right.
You got a lot on your mind. It's okay.
No, it's all right.
Your category is Oscar trivia, Jerry.
Why don't you call... Can I call Jason O'Brien?
He ain't going to help you.
He never helps anyone.
Which future Mrs. Janusz Kaminski won an Oscar the same night he did in 1993?
Okay, all right.
He's not looking this up, is he?
No, I'm not. No, God, no. Dude, I'm a lot of things. A cheater is not one of them. And, you know,
first of all...
Okay, can I say something right now? My
yes.
co-host from one of the other shows I do is calling me right now on my cell phone, but I'm not picking it up.
That's great.
No, I'm just showing you the loyalty that I have to this show. I just want everyone to know that. I just said
thank you.
So this is 1993.
Yes.
So
and just for our listeners out there, Janusz Kaminski is a cinematographer, a longtime Spielberg cinematographer, actually. Shot Schindler's List, which is what he won the award for that year, I'm thinking. So his wife also won an award that year.
So, okay, I'm just trying. All right. This is for Best Actress. So this is
yes.
This would be for, even though the ceremony takes place in 94, this would be in 90. This is for the movies that came out in 93, right?
I think so.
Okay, thanks, Jamie, for that help. God.
Who's married to Janusz Kaminski? That's essentially what it comes down to.
I know, and I'm drawing
a
blank.
I know this one.
Thank you, Dean. I'm sure you do. God, I really wish we had lifelines here. I'd call that O'Brien kid up.
We should do that sometime.
No, I can call out to people.
But
he's probably having a fist fight with his in-laws since he posts that on Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. In 92, Emma Thompson won for Howard's End, right?
Yes.
So I want to say, and I'm going to say, oh, God. Oh, Jessica Lange.
You know that Jessica Lange is married to Sam Shepard, though.
Well, I know. I'm going to take that back. But didn't she win for Blue Skies?
Blue Skies was 94. I think that was the
year
after
so
this.
I'm drawing a blank. What happened in 93, though? That's what.
Dean, what do you think it is?
It's Holly Hunter.
Right.
That's right for the piano. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I forgot about the piano. I'm sorry.
We do got to do like a millionaire kind of thing and call out to people and. Call out to people that are just as clueless as we are.
I completely forgot the PN. I forgot Holly Hunter because I just keep thinking of her and that show she's on TNT, and you never know that she was in some good movies. Okay.
All right.
Boy Bean said Raquel Welch. That's classic, man. That's classic.
Raquel Welch won a Best Actress Oscar in 1993. All right.
City Bomber 2, the early years.
Okay, Diener, here's
yeah.
your question. Late greats is your category. The question is, which movie did Sinatra make shortly after paying a ransom on his son's kidnapping?
The Detective.
That's a good guess, but wrong. It's The Manchurian Candidate.
No, The Detective is a good. That was a good guess. That's what I would have said, The Detective. So.
All right.
Doing terrible today.
Don't worry about it, man.
It's true.
You really do need to have a drink, though.
It's all right.
All right, Jerry. Jerry.
It's fun with retards night with Jerry Dennis. Okay.
Your category is Kevin Costner.
Oh, dude, he was like so awesome in Fandango.
He was actually.
He played one of those paper. He played one of those paperback puppets.
Have you ever seen Fandango?
I've seen the ads before the movies start.
No, okay, never mind. It's probably his best role, actually.
That's Kevin Reynolds, right? It's the first movie again.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, this question isn't about that.
Of course not.
So here's your question. Okay. Damn, we already covered that the last show, ironically.
Okay, you want to ask something else? You can ask something else. I mean,
who was he reportedly in conversation with to make a sequel to The Bodyguard?
Oh, I actually know this. I remember this.
Is this referring to an actress or to a director? I guess to an actress, right?
To expand upon it more would be limiting the field too much.
Okay.
It was to play opposite him.
Oh God. Yeah, I honestly don't know. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry.
All right, the answer is Princess Diana.
Well, if that would have killed her, the box office receipts from that. So,
wow. Did he really think that was going to go through?
This rings a bell. I do remember. Wow, Princess Diana? Wow, that would have been an interesting part of the Queen. That wouldn't have.
Yeah, it would have.
All right, Dean. And which your category is the 1970s. In which 1979 movie did John Voight play a boxer?
Oh, that was the remake of The Champ.
You're right.
That was a good movie. I wish he was like that in real life.
Franco's
Jerry?
Oh, man, I saw some John Voight footage. You mentioned him the other day about his craziness.
He has gone off the deep end. I mean,
I was shocked.
Yeah, it is shocking. It is.
Jerry, also in the 1970s category. Here's your question. Who did Brian De Palma originally want for the role of Carrie?
Oh, shit. Dean, do you know this?
No, I'm trying to make an educated guess.
Wow, if it wasn't... I'm just going to... This is just a wild guess, and it's not right at all. Margot Kidder.
Why not?
Interesting guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's wrong. It is Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher? Holy shit, do you realize how... Oh, my God.
Wow.
That would have been fucking wild. I mean, Judge Roy Bean, these are bad questions. No, Judge, they're not bad questions. I'm just stupid.
Dean, we're doing level two questions here, by the way. Dean, who is this? This is level two. It's under the category of memorable movie moments.
Uh-huh.
Here's your question. Which 1930s horror classic had the ad line, "A love story that lived for 1,000 years"?
What was the year? What was the?
No, what was the movie? Which 1930s horror classic?
Okay.
Had the promo line, "A love story that lived for 1,000 years.
The Mummy?
You're right.
That's
very
good.
That's
awesome. Good for you, man.
That was a total guess.
2-1
right.
Now, I think.
Jerry.
Jerry.
1980 stars, Jerry.
Oh, God. Okay.
Which star of Chariots of Fire and Gandhi died of AIDS in 1990?
Well, we sure as hell know it's not Ben Kingsley.
Oh, wow.
What was he with died of AIDS in what year?
1990.
It wouldn't have been him. 1990? Shit. Well, the two guys that are alive are still making movies well after that. So, who was it? Please inform me.
Can I guess?
Yeah,
yes.
You guess. Please, go for it.
I'm guessing Denholm Elliott.
That's what I thought, but it's Ian Charleston.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but Denholm Elliott died later than that. I was thinking that at first. But.
Yeah, I didn't know how much later because the 89 Indiana Jones he was in.
Yeah, but he was in some other stuff after that, wasn't he? Or?
Probably.
Well, he was in Noises Off. I remember that. And I think
right,
that might
right,
have been
right.
91 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Diener.
Yes.
Diener.
Which writer did Jack Nicholson play in Reds?
Eugene O'Neill.
Yeah.
Very good. Name one of his plays.
Long Day's Journey into Night.
All right.
Moon for the Misbegotten.
Jerry, your category is horror.
Oh,
horror.
Okay.
Horror. All right.
Okay, let's hear it.
Which Mrs. Charles Laughton played the title role in The Bride of Frankenstein?
Why do you have to ask me these difficult questions? I'm
okay.
Oh, come on now, Jerry.
No, obviously I've seen the movie, but I don't know the actress's name. And I'm not going to cheat on IMDb here, so.
All right, Dean, what do you think?
It's Elsa Lanchester.
Right.
Did you have an affair with her, Dean?
No, but I thought she is kind of cute.
Oh, no, yeah.
Early days.
Yeah, I mean.
She also played Mary Shelley, didn't she, in that movie? I think she, because it opens up with all of the writers sitting around talking about, their stories, all the Mary Shelley and Perkin. And anyway.
All right.
Played two roles in it.
I've never dated a girl named Elsa, I'm sad to say.
It's a name that needs to come back into.
I think so.
Into vogue.
Yeah, a girl named Elsa. I mean, she'll wake up crack of dawn and milk the cows.
Yeah, true.
All right, Dean is. I guess this is your question.
Or is it? I guess it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it is. I mean,
how old was Regan McNeil, or Regan, when she was possessed in The Exorcist?
Oh, I'm going to say 12.
You're right.
God, Dean's just kicking ass tonight.
And when you're right, you're right. All right, Jerry.
I like that line in Chinatown. When he talks,
okay.
Says, you're right. Anyway.
Jerry, here's a level one question.
Yeah, let's give it to the mentally challenged.
No.
In which decade of the 20th century was Rob Lowe born?
I want to say the 60s.
You're right.
Thank God for that.
Must be pretty early, too.
Diener, under potluck, here's your question.
All right.
It's a level two. All right. In The Bridge on the River Kwai, Alec Guinness was which colonel?
Colonel Bogey. I don't know.
No.
What do you think, Jerry?
Colonel Nicholson.
You're right.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Like you sound like walking up to a giant.
Yeah, like I got dip in my mouth or something. All right, here's your question under box office successes.
Sorcerer's Apprentice is not an answer then.
Ooh, this is hard.
I'm
this
sure it is.
What was the original title of License to Kill?
This is hard. But
it's right there. It just seems like it's something that, God, we should know. But
yeah, I know. You're absolutely right, Dean. It is something we should know. But license revoked.
You're right.
Wow.
Is because of the John Gardner novels at that time period, who was writing those books. Those were, license was a popular word in those titles. So there was, yeah, because we always thought the follow-up to that would be license renewed, but that never happened. So.
Yeah. All right, last two questions. Diener?
Yeah.
Your category is something I'm sure you know a lot about, romance.
Uh-huh.
Just
for
romance.
I know my fair share of romance.
Yeah, no,
thank
dude. He dated Julie Christie, so.
That's right. You got lucky on the premiere of Top Gun. I mean, who we know?
That's right. At the UN Plaza Hotel.
At the UN, no less. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Did you sample every country that night? I just want to know. Okay.
Yeah, I
did. Dean, on whose novel is The Bridges of Madison County based?
Oh my God! See, I like that movie. I can't.
I sort of know this. I think so.
William. I don't know. I can't think of it. Nope, it's out.
What do you think? What do you
Robert
think?
James Waller?
Okay. Hang on. I forgot to look up the answer.
You forgot?
243.
I think he's right.
You're right, buddy.
All right, cool.
You're right.
Okay.
Judge, if you want to call in, I'll expand the show just a little bit, but you gotta call in.
You gotta act quick.
We're going to have another show, yes. We have two shows a week.
Yeah, you got to call in a little bit earlier, it seems like.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, here's your question.
Okay.
Oh, I guess I should find another category.
Let's
do a potluck. All right,
yeah,
Jerry. All right. Jerry. Which film is based upon an unpublished novel by James Fogel written while he was in prison?
Oh, God. I mean, oh, shit.
Oh. You're going to kick yourself for not knowing this.
I am going to kick myself.
Seems like a hard question.
It does, doesn't it?
Can I at least get a decade, or, I mean?
I think it was the early 90s, I think. Independent film.
Okay. Well, I am going to kick myself for this, I'm sure, but
I'll give you a hint. William S. Burroughs.
Oh, Drugstore Cowboy.
Right.
Oh, well, that's the only reason I got that, but thank you.
That's really mid-80s, isn't it?
Was it 80s? I thought it was early 90s.
No, it was...
It's 86 or 85.
No, it's 89. It's 89, actually. So.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's 89, right. Yeah, you're right.
All right.
All right.
Let me check our switchboard and see if the judge is called in. Oh, God, my computer's so slow. Yeah, we got a call here, an international call. It looks like
it's international. It's Godiva.
Or a calling card call. I don't know. Hang on. Hi, caller.
Hello, I'm not the judge. can you hear me? Hello. I've rang up to say absolutely nothing of any use whatsoever. I've just rang up to say, this is Godiva, by the way. Hello.
Hello.
I was just ringing up to say hello, basically.
Oh.
Well,
you don't want to play movie? It's a great treat to have you call in and say hello.
Yeah, it's always a good treat. Always.
Yeah, of course.
Ah, wicked. But yeah, anyway, I'll let you get on with your quiz now.
I just want to say, since we have you on the phone,
thank you. Yeah, thank
hey,
you.
You're welcome.
What you've done over the last couple months, you've really been, what you've done for all the sites and everything is just, you know, what we owe you is beyond evaluation. So thank you.
Oh,
absolutely.
I really, really love doing it. I've really loved doing it. And I think you're all great. And as we all know, I'm Jerry Dennis's biggest fan.
Thank
you. And
no, I don't know. You've got to forgive me. My brain's a little fried right now, but thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, I will let you get on with your quiz now.
You don't want to play the trivia with us, or?
No, I know absolutely nothing about trivia about anything because I have this awful illness where my mind just goes blank.
Yeah.
Which is
that happens to me every day at work.
Yeah.
So.
I know what it's like. But anyway, take care, everyone,
okay.
And I'll ring in again sometime.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Godiva.
Well, what a nice thing to have to hear a female voice on the show every once
always
in a while.
Always a good thing to hear on this show.
Dear God.
More females. If you're listening, call in, please.
This show is one big sausage fest, I tell you.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Job, dude. That's in my work. I mean, no estrogen whatsoever, so.
And if you guys want to become a fan of Movie Geeks United, do that. Look up Movie Geeks United. We have a fan page there, thanks to her. Yeah, it's great. Thanks to Godiva. And you don't become a fan. You just say you like us.
Yeah.
What's that? It's went from become a fan to like. All right.
Yeah, what happened? Why did they do that? Does anyone know what happened with that? Or
I don't know.
They are always messing around with it. Somebody, they got to make their, those people sitting around that big shiny table at the Facebook, HQ have to make their paycheck somehow. So they have to mess around with it.
Yeah,
right.
Well, we're going to know a lot more about them soon, so.
Yeah, I wonder if you're going to be able to become a fan of The Social Network.
That's a good point, man.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
I thought I read about that they were not going to do that or something. I read that Facebook wasn't going to allow it or something.
Well,
like,
that doesn't stop.
A load of fiction, so.
It could be, but that doesn't stop the 500 million users, one of them, from doing it themselves, or
yeah.
Many of them. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's going to be hard to observe.
Yeah.
Dean, here you go.
I thought we were done.
Oh, you want to be done?
No, we're not done.
Okay.
We're not done.
Well, I mean, this could go on forever.
I've got a dog in
know?
This fight. Come on.
All right.
Which actress, Dean? Dayton.
Sorry.
Which actress links dollars and butterflies are free?
Goldie Hawn.
You're right.
That's good. That's
when you're
awesome.
Right, you're right.
Good.
Judge, here's your question.
How you guys doing?
Hey, bud.
Doing good. How are you, man?
Good, good, good.
I'm going to level one, Judge.
No, I was thinking about that when you guys were on. Thank you.
Your category is Clint Eastwood.
Oh, good.
Always a good category in my book.
A Fistful of What was the title of his first... Okay, there you go. And what actress links dollars on butterflies are free? You see how this all
it
ties
all
in?
Around.
Oh, that was the second part of the question?
No. That was the question Dean already answered. So, uh-oh. Judge, I think you got a fair shot. I'm going to go to level one for you. And... higher levels for the other two guys, so
I appreciate that.
I have a good feeling about this, Judge.
Yeah, got on the board. That's good.
That's right.
Yay.
All right, Jerry. In which film does a character named Rick Deckard appear?
That would be Blade Runner.
Very good, Diener.
Yeah,
I like how we got Diener.
What was the last name of Ted in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
That's out. I'll never get it.
Okay. Jerry, any idea?
I do. I like in the back of my. I'm sure as soon as I hear it, it will ring a bell, but I don't know offhand.
Logan.
Mm.
All right, Judge.
Yes.
Which Ben co-wrote Good Will Hunting?
Oh, God. Now I'm starting to feel really dumb here.
Oh, come on. You know this.
No,
I
do.
You know
I do. It's just, you know. What's his name?
You know what? We got Mel Gibson
the
call
in
to help
you. Out there. I think that's about the only famous Ben that's out there I can think of right now.
I know, and I can't. I drew a blank on his last name.
I know. Well, what do
you carry insurance, Judge?
Let's help him out here. Give us a name. All right, if you know the it's who you think it is. Give us a name of a movie he was in. Another movie that he was in.
Well, the name that's rolling through my mind is Stiller, and I know it's not Stiller. I know it's Matt Damon's best friend.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. No, it's definitely not Stiller.
So you're right. I mean, he's on the right track.
He is.
Okay. It's the name of an insurance. Hey. It's the name of an insurance company. I'm giving you a big hint.
That's why I got that question.
Are you in insurance or something?
No.
Okay. Okay.
No, I'm not going to get it, guys. I lose.
Oh, that's the best guess I can. That's the best hint I can think of giving.
Yeah,
you.
That really is.
His name is Ben State Farm. Okay.
No.
It is.
No.
It's Ben Affleck, man.
Uh huh.
All right, Jerry.
Yeah.
Which letter does Paul Newman say all of his best films begin with? Huh, interesting.
That is interesting. Wow.
Good question.
That is a good question. I know the answer to that.
T.
All right. Dean, what do you say?
It's H. But it was his lucky letter.
It is H.
I was thinking, because I was using the article "the" for the Hustler, and okay, never mind.
You're right. HUD sucker proxy, the Huddler.
But no, you're right. H is the right. You know, that's the right. But I was thinking the article more than anything else. But okay.
Harper, that was another one.
Yeah.
That's a good movie, man.
Yeah.
Absence of Malice.
Oh, that's a good one. You know, it's funny. It was never mind. But
that has to be great.
Hutch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, Hutch was great. Yeah, that was a good one.
I think Absence of Malice was maybe one of his better flicks.
He's very good in it.
Yeah, he
sure.
is.
You know what's great about Absence of Malice? Like, 75% through it, you know, during the climax, Wilford Brimley comes in, and he essentially has this long monologue, and he's great. I mean, he's mesmerizing. Wilford Brimley.
Like late 70s, early 80s was Wilford Brimley golden era.
I was watching Rambo with my friend Rick, and we were laughing at the last shot of Stallone walking to his father's house, and it said R. Rambo on the mailbox. It's like, Roddy Rambo, played by Wilford Brimley. Come in, boy, you want some Quaker oats? All right, so who are we on? We're on Dean, right?
I think me, yeah.
Who was Frank Sinatra's second wife to be a professional actress?
Ava Gardner?
No.
No, that would have been first, right?
I know this.
then it's only one other, and that's Mia Farrow.
Yeah, that's...
Mia Farrow is correct.
That's what I would have said, too.
And they pretty much broke up because she wanted to do Rosemary's Baby, and he was not wanting her to.
Wasn't he kind of horrified by her haircut or something? She came back with the haircut, and he was like completely...
Dames don't wear haircuts like that. That's not becoming of a dame.
Dame.
Yeah.
All right, Dean, or Judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I'm the judge. Your category is famous firsts.
Okay.
What movie did Dean lose his...
What?
I'm kidding. I was going to ask you what movie Dean lost his virginity in. Okay. Okay. Judge, here's your question. Who was Oscar nominated for his directorial debut? So who directed this movie? Ordinary People.
Well, that's so
Robert Redford.
Very good.
Awesome.
I was impressed by that myself.
Very good.
Jerry, your category is disaster movies.
Jonah Hex?
Which two studios made the movie based on The Tower and The Glass Inferno? Oh God, that's hard. You want me to ask you another one? Let me ask you another one.
I know that one.
Two studios made that?
Two studios?
Yes.
Back in that day and age, they had to do... Oh, wow.
Well,
it's
based on The Tower and The Glass Inferno, so I'll give you the movie. The movie based on those two are Towering Inferno.
Yeah, but I don't know the... I wouldn't know the studio. I wouldn't know that. No,
I think I know it.
Well, let's
okay.
see.
I got one of them.
One's Paramount, and
the other's Universal.
There's Warner Brothers, I think.
Universal.
Warner Brothers and Paramount, right?
Universal. I'm sticking with Universal. I don't know about the other ones.
All right. So the answer is Fox and MGM.
Wow.
Wow.
Somebody got it right.
Good job, guys.
MGM? Surprise. Okay.
I thought Universal Studios had something to do with that for some reason. I don't know why.
I have a poster for that movie. Somehow
because
I think you see that
when you go to Universal Studios. I think that's one of, no, it's MGM. You see the disaster flicks kind of.
Yeah, well,
on the
now
ride.
They are a disaster now, so.
Yeah. Dean.
Yes.
Who starred? Who was the main star in the movie The Next Big Thing? Oh, no. Sorry. The Next Best Thing.
I know this.
Madonna?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
The next
who directed it?
John Schlesinger's last name.
Schlesinger. Oh, my God.
What a horrible way to end it. That was
well, the movie he
movie.
Did. The
like,
movie he
that's
did.
Like,
right
that's like the
was,
next. The next worst thing, beside death.
Yeah.
Directing.
Well,
that
he did a really good movie right before. Didn't he do Cold Comfort Farm right before that? So that was I like
yeah, that.
That
was a wonderful.
That.
Isn't that the film that gave us Kate Beckinsale? Right.
Right.
All right, Judge. Go back to level one here. Your category is potluck. That means it could be about anything.
Oh.
In which decade was Return of the Jedi released?
Oh, my God. I really do. I feel like a five-year-old here.
First,
the 70s.
First release.
70s.
You've got to be kidding me.
Eye of the Jedi. Oh, Eye of the go ahead.
No. Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know I got that wrong. Yeah, okay. Got
if
it.
It's not the 70s, if it's not the 70s, what would it be?
Well, it would be the a better guess would have been the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Give it to him. Just give it to him, please.
He's got it.
Please.
He's got it.
Jerry's
all right,
on his like sixth beer, I think, right now.
Who?
Jerry,
what?
You are a James Bond aficionado, Jerry.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, okay.
So here's your question under the category James Bond.
Okay.
And the question is, what was Goldfinger's first name?
Auric.
What was it?
Auric. A-U-R-I-C. Yes, Auric Goldfinger.
You're right.
Played by...
That's a good question, too.
Yeah, and played by an actual Nazi party member, Gert Verbe, yes.
Dean, do you know your James Bond movies?
I can give it a shot.
He knows James Bond. He was James Bond.
Okay, so here's your question, Dean, under James Bond. Which Bond film did Deborah Kerr appear in?
Oh, I love this film.
My gosh. God, it would have to be one of the... Oh, boy, I don't think I know this. But I'm going to say From Russia with Love.
No.
What is it, Jerry?
It is the original Casino Royale. Not the original, but the spoof. The original spoof,
oh.
Casino Royale.
Oh.
And, you know, she plays a nun in that, too, towards the end. I mean, let me say this, and I'm going to say this right now. If there was ever a nun that you wanted to marry, it was Deborah Carr. I mean, heaven
it was
knows-
Sally Field.
No, not
yes.
Sally Field. So heaven knows Mr. Allison, Casino Royale, Black Narcissist, which I just ordered on DVD. I mean, she was the hottest nun of all time. Okay, there I said it.
And you know, she wasn't a nun in this movie, but she's great in The Innocents, where she's
awesome in that.
And definitely somebody who's not, you know, doesn't know her way around the bedroom.
No, but she's just so, she was a beautiful right. woman, and when she acted opposite Robert Mitchum, there was no, even more so than Bogart and Bacall, they were great when they were on screen together.
Yeah, that's an underrated movie, I think.
All right, Judge, since you've already proven your strength in knowing which decade Return of the Jedi was released, we're sticking with the category of the 1980s for you.
Okay.
Here's your question. I had it right here. Okay. Which hours were Jane Fonda and Dolly Parton working in 1980?
Let's see. Now you're talking about work hours or...
I love how we need to get the confirmation for this.
Is this off time? Does lunch out? Does lunch count?
What do you think it is, dude?
9 to 5.
All right, very good.
Thank God. Good job.
Jerry, your category is Tom Hanks.
Okay.
Oh, great actor.
Okay, let's go.
Which 1996 movie saw him as director as well as actor?
That Thing That You Do.
You're right. Yes, That Thing You
Have
Do.
Have he directed anything since then?
He's doing one now.
What is he directing now?
He's directing, it's named after a man. I can't remember the name of the movie, but Julie Roberts is in it, and he's acting in it, too. And
oh, well, that'll be good to see them together again. Yeah, that'll be great.
Has there ever been any announcements? I heard a rumor about this, because this is one of my favorite books, because I'm interested in the JFK assassination, and
right.
Vincent Bugliosi did Reclaiming History, which is a book about
right.
trying to prove to everybody that Lee Harvey Oswald did do it. And
right.
I think Tom Hanks was talking about making that into a miniseries.
He's producing it, producing it for HBO, was my understanding.
Well, that should be interesting, yeah.
He's also producing a movie about Barry Manilow.
Well, we
wow.
know we'll be getting everyone involved in that. So.
It's like a Love Actually kind of movie where all these different characters and various forms of love converge at the Barry Vegas concert.
Oh, cool.
And it's, yeah.
Is that real? You're joking, aren't you?
No.
They're using Love Actually as their template for it.
And Love Actually is a really good, I love that movie, so.
Yeah, it is good.
I love it too, actually. Okay. Who are we on? Who just answered that? Oh, Judge. That
I
was
think
Judge's
we're back
question?
To Jerry. Yeah.
Jerry, okay. Jerry, since we're on the topic of Deborah Kerr.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
Here's your question about...
It's Deborah Kerr, I think, by the way.
Is it Kerr?
It doesn't matter. If I was if I was of age, I would have married her, okay? That's all we need to know. Thank you very much.
All right, Jerry.
That's the way I cried. Okay.
All right, Jerry. Deborah Kerr.
Deborah Kerr.
What color is her suit in the final scene of An Affair to Remember?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm colorblind.
Are you, Jerry?
I am colorblind. For some colors, yes.
It plays a plot point, doesn't it? Because she tells him that she's wearing the dress.
Well, that's great. I haven't seen the movie in how many years.
I don't recall if she does or not. I'll be wearing this color dress at the top of the...
I think so. But I can't remember the color either. I think.
Oh God! Why don't I just say blue? Just to.
Okay, it's red.
of course, red. You say blue? Yes.
Dean.
In this moment.
Deaner.
Yes.
Which great actor died on the same day as fellow star Orson Welles?
Oh my God!
All the time getting a coffin down the stairs.
Laurence Olivier.
I know who. No! I think I know.
I hate
who,
it when
Mel
loses his temper.
Who do you think?
Was it Rock Hudson?
No.
That was probably a year before, but.
It was Yul Brynner.
Really?
Yul
wow.
Brynner? Oh my God. You mean the big Paul Masson poster boy just outshined him?
Yeah.
Yul Brynner, Orson Welles on the same day.
My God, that's like, was it Prokofiev and Stalin died on
remember who? You remember who died the same day as Sammy Davis Jr.?
Jim Henson.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that in high school. That was a sad day.
That was.
And
it was great.
I remember just recently Antonioni and Bergman dying on the
show. Oh, yeah, we did the whole show. We had quite a show about that.
A whole show on the two of them, yeah. You might want to look that up, Dean. Okay, Judge?
What the fuck
yes.
are you saying that for, man? You might want to look that up, Dean.
You might want to look up some of our shows and listen to them before you actually became part of them.
Yeah,
oh,
of course.
Cold-blooded, man.
Just a suggestion, man. You only have like 340 of them to listen to.
Oh, God.
I know. Well, that's a little daunting.
We've done 349 shows, something like that. Do you believe that, dude?
Dude, that's awesome.
Oh, like two or three of them are really good, too.
Like your voices should be hitting like Alpha Centauri by now.
All right. Judge, I don't know if Judge is next or not.
I've lost track.
I think he is, actually. Yeah, he is. Oh, wait, no. He got. We just did the Debit Carr for Jerry, missing the... Missing
and then
the
I gave you... Who,
I
then
that
I gave you the...
Blind. They sent
then I gave you the Orson Welles Yul Brynner question.
Oh, yeah, right.
Dean.
So now we, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay, so here comes the judge.
Yeah.
Judge, Ed Harris played the mission controller in which Tom Hanks film?
God, I'm. Yeah, I do. I really do. I mean, I feel like a 2-year-old with you guys. great movie. This is a fantastic movie. Apollo 13.
Very good.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Definitely a great movie.
And a great performance by him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's superb in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was nominated for that.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
It's a tough character because he was actually throughout the movie trying to figure out how to put a round peg in a square hole or
it's
vice
yeah.
versa.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, that's a Ron Howard's best movie, I still think.
Okay, Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Jerry.
This is great. Okay, who was nominated for Tumbleweeds?
Who was nominated? Janet McTeer.
Very good. Very good.
That's a good movie, man. It's a really good movie.
Good.
Diener.
Yeah.
And the sound
a Stillness in the Water was eventually released as which ripping blockbuster? Huh.
Stillness in the Water.
Huh. I didn't know this.
Meaning that it was a different name, that the movie came under, it came out under a different name?
Yeah, and became a blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Blockbuster.
Stillness in the Water. Hold on, let me think for just a second.
I think a hint might be in order here.
It can't be Jaws. It's just, it can't be.
It can't be Jaws.
It can't be Dick.
Here's your thinking music.
Oh, that's good. That helps. Excalibur. I don't know.
No.
A Stillness in the Water is Excalibur. Excalibur is your final answer, Dean?
Yeah,
I don't really know this. Ripping
one.
All my favorite movie, okay.
Well, you know, right. I'm thinking about the sword in the water and all.
You think of
the lady in the lake.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. I think that the lady in the lake gets you Stillness in the Water. Oh, my God.
All right, the answer is Jaws.
Really?
It was Jaws.
Wow. Let me, because I know now we'll get an angry email from James about this, but they would have changed the name of the book?
I guess when the book came out originally, it was called The Stillness in the Water.
Wow. Okay.
Or do you think maybe they did that to sort of throw people off like they did with, you know, E.T. and calling it A Boy's Life or whatever? Like trying to throw people off from what they were working on?
No, because they announced what they were working on. It was no secret.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that they just went with Jaws because it was a more accessible title.
Yeah,
it was fiercer. It was shorter. It was, mm-hmm. you know.
Easier to remember.
Yeah. All right, Judge, we got your question here. I'm moving up to level 2 for you, Judge, okay?
I appreciate that.
All right.
I love when the judge and Dean call in.
You remember that? You remember that song, "The Windmills of Your Mind," Judge?
Sort of.
What movie does that come from?
Windmills of Your Mind.
Yes.
Windmills of Your Mind. A man without a face.
What?
Now I sing it.
No.
Yes. I want Dean to sing it. Yeah.
We want people to tune back in. No, I'm not going to sing it. I don't remember all the words.
It's a terrible song. I really don't like the song. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I like it. It's Michelle Legrand and Alan and Marilyn Bergman did the lyrics.
So you don't know what movie it comes from, Judge?
I have no idea whatsoever.
It comes from The Thomas Crown Affair.
With Steve McQueen?
Yes.
Because it was done by the other guy who does all the movies that somebody else did. No, you know what I'm talking about, right?
No. Okay. Here we are. Jerry, I guess this is the last round of questions right here.
Okay.
Under the category blockbusters, Jerry, you got to get this one right. I know you will. Which movie is 12 Monkeys based on?
La Jetée.
All right.
This is La.
All right, Jerry, good job.
Thank you.
Diener?
Yeah?
Here's your question. Under blockbusters, again.
Mm-hmm.
Which president does Anthony Hopkins play in Amistad?
It's John Quincy Adams.
Yes. It's funny how that question is under the category of blockbusters.
Yeah, that's not a real blockbuster.
I've never heard of that film.
Okay. Judge? Here's, under blockbusters. Oh, man.
I can hear
the wheel spinning. He's trying to think of a really easy question.
All right. Oh, gosh, none of these are very simple for the judge, but I'll just throw one out. Okay, what is Peter Pan's job after he grows up in Hook?
I have no idea. None.
What do you think, Jerry?
Investment banker?
Dean, what do you think? Robin Williams' job in Hook?
Like a school teacher.
What?
I don't know.
What was the point of him having a job as an adult? It had to be the polar opposite.
Jamie,
it had to be a cynical job.
I tried to block that movie out, man. That was very, very traumatic for me watching that movie.
All right. The answer is an attorney.
Yeah.
All right. Exciting show, guys. Really exciting. I just can't thank you guys enough.
Oh, thanks, Jamie. That's
hey, thanks for all them easy questions. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Judge. I think you actually won that whole thing.
Well, it wouldn't have been deserved, that's for sure.
Come back to see us Wednesday night. Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll have Robert Duvall. And then Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, we'll have actress Patricia Clarkson. And some great shows upcoming, including a 6-part tribute to Brian De Palma's Thrillers. We got 90 seconds left. I'm going to leave you guys with a movie score. Our last week's movie score was Presumed Innocent. This week is another John Williams mystery movie score. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Good night,
thanks
everyone.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. See you
no
later.
Problem.
Thank you.